weather and climate often cause concern and curiosity, but understanding the facts behind the phenomena can be a challenge. We're here to help. From the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, and Illinois Public Media, welcome to Weather Realness, a weekly podcast about the skies above Illinois and the world.
I'm your host, Steve Nesbitt, professor in the Department of Climate, Meteorology, and Atmospheric Sciences here at the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. As we enter April, planting season is getting underway across Illinois, but rising temperatures are changing what the season looks like. Growing seasons are getting longer because of warmer springs and later autumn frosts. The average growing season in the U.S. has increased by nearly 2 weeks since the early 20th century.
With the wonderful weather we have been having, especially today, starting to feel a lot more like spring, the Pacific Northwest has been warmer than normal this winter, and nature is already reacting.
I know, I thought I had a bunch of flowers. They're just weeds, but nonetheless, they're coming up.
They're growing.
That's right. Audrey L. Tackett with our Environment Northwest team takes a look at what they call false spring.
It really has a lot to do with temperature.
Each spring, plants wake up on cue because of warming temperatures and more daylight. But this year, it's happening earlier than usual.
The plant gets excited about springtime and starts to then put energy into producing flowers, growing their buds.
Colin Lyman is an expert in horticulture. He says the risk comes when a premature green-up is followed by another freeze.
It could freeze that flower off, and then we could not see as much blooms, as many blooms on our trees or shrubs as we normally would if we didn't have a false spring throughout the winter.
While this might increase crop production, there are challenges that might come along with it. Here to talk about the longer growing season and affecting agriculture in Illinois is Stephen Brand, Commercial Agricultural Specialist with the Illinois Extension. Welcome, Stephen.
Thanks for having me. Happy to be here.
So today we're here to talk about how our longer growing season is being experienced here in Illinois. And then later on, we're going to talk about the role of the atmosphere in influencing this. But what does a longer growing season look like in Illinois?
So overall, we're seeing warmer temperatures earlier in the season, and we're seeing hotter temperatures later in the season. So usually the planting window opens up in early April. If you get a good year, usually planting will start April 1st on a really good year, but you don't usually see it until the 15th. And I mean, that'll vary across the state. We got such a tall, long state that different growing seasons start in different parts of the state at different times.
Obviously, this depends a little bit on what you're planting, and we're going to get into later on sort of your home gardening versus your kind of crop production. But do farmers have to take anything into consideration when they're talking about different crops that they might plant here?
For Illinois, corn and soy is still the two biggest. The phrase corn is king, that isn't going away anytime soon.
It's called the Corn Belt for a reason. You can drive through the Midwest for hours and hours, and that's pretty much all you're going to see out the window. In Illinois, 80% of the state's farmland is used to grow corn and soybeans. It is incredibly productive soil, but depending on those two crops alone, or mostly those two crops, comes with a price.
I think the biggest factor that I've really seen in recent years, more farmers are moving to planting soy earlier, and I think a lot of that has to do with what the weather's doing, what the temperature's doing. Like up here in northern Illinois last year, a lot of farmers got some early soybeans in because fields were fit. We had a little bit of a drought going into the season.
The lack of rain really starting to impact central Illinois.
It sure is. The drought continues to get worse. Meteorologist Matt Bednar joins us now in studio to break down how dry it's been. Matt?
Yeah, ladies, it's been a really long stretch now. We're going on 43 days in a row of not seeing at least a quarter of an inch of rainfall.
And then it got wet, so they started mixing corn and soybeans after that, and everything got in a timely fashion. In southern Illinois, they had record rainfalls. They had areas in, I believe it was April, had upwards of 16, 17 inches of rain, and it continued to stay wet throughout into May, so they really didn't have the chance to get beans in early, and the second those fields were fit, they were just planting corn as fast as they could. One of my colleagues down in southern Illinois for some research plots, they didn't finish getting beans in until, I believe, early July. So it really pushed the season back for them down there. And I think weather is one of the bigger driving factors. You want to make sure the corn gets in at the right time overall, and beans can kind of be played around with more and more.
Yeah, so you touched on this a little bit, but what challenges does a longer growing season create for farmers?
I think some of it is that anxiety to get out and planting early. Like we had I'm up in northern Illinois, in Crystal Lake, so I'm about 40 minutes south of the Wisconsin border, and I want to say 2-3 weeks ago, we had a 70-degree day at the beginning of March, tail end of February, and then that was followed immediately with tornadoes and hail and 6 inches of snow.
Right dead center in your screen right now, that is an active tornado in progress. We are watching this play out over the interstate I-57, Kankakee, in these areas of northern Illinois.
As we were driving through Kankakee, we were seeing golf ball size hail, even baseball size hail in some places.
So if you get a 2-3 day spell where it's 60, 70 degrees, farmers, they inherently want to get out in the field, get those beans in. And especially if that's around this time, if we're still in that frost window, there is some inherent risk. But the warmer temperatures early is very tempting to get farmers excited and going into the fields when it may be a little bit too early.
So is there really some market-based benefit, or is it more of a climate benefit to try to get that out there early? Or why do they want to get out there so quickly?
For soybeans, the longer they're in the field, the more it's going to benefit their yield. For corn, if you can get it in a timely fashion, even a little bit early, and avoid some of those frosts, you can have a little bit of an earlier harvest. It just makes things a bit easier on the tail end. You might be able to get some corn to market early. It's more just about getting the season started, and with the uncertainty of the weather, if you got days where you can go, it's all about getting the seed in the ground.
So does that also sort of reflect it in the mid-season conditions, like maybe before those August droughts set in, having the crop mature potentially before that hits?
I think it's more about the timing of getting them in early rather than some of the later season stuff, because you can't predict the weather that far out. You can have an idea of what the overarching pattern is going to be, and I'll be the first to admit I'm not a meteorologist, climatologist by any stretch of the imagination, but I think it's more about just getting them in the ground early, and whatever comes later in the season, you have to adjust and hope it works out.
So do you have any advice to farmers in the state? You know, let's say we get a big warm up here coming up as we head into April. Should they start looking at weather forecasts, extended range, or should they just get out there and get going?
I don't think it hurts. I think the farthest you're really going to want to look weather-wise, outlook-wise, is maybe a week, because that's going to be the most accurate. Anything beyond that, it's an idea of what might come, but it's still somewhat speculative. You're not going to know for certain until a couple days before, but keeping an eye on the weather at least a week out, I think, is a very beneficial tool to have and just good agronomic practices overall.
So you talked a little bit about corn and soybeans, but obviously, you know, our USDA zones are shifting, and the last time we had an update, you know, things warmed considerably here in Illinois based on the last 30 years of temperatures. Are you aware of this opening up any new possibilities for growing different things in Illinois, and are farmers starting to move in those directions?
Down south, some of those climate zones are increasing in temperature. It's opening up the possibility for some crops that we haven't really seen before. Some of those that I've heard about would be peanuts, okra, sweet potatoes, and certain pepper varieties, really depending on them needing a hot, long growing season. And again, that's predominantly southern Illinois in the 7A, 7B zone, but it's slowly starting to creep its way up the state. And I don't know if that's going to be replacing corn and soybean acreage. I can't imagine it would if it's, you know, good quality farm ground, but if it's marginal ground or some side projects for just different, you know, variety of incomes, I could see some guys giving that a shot.
So gardeners and farmers use what we call frost-free dates for their plants and crops. And, of course, across Illinois, as you mentioned, you know, up in the way northwestern corner of the state, that's known as kind of the cold zone. And then way down in Cairo and those kind of places, they're definitely more of a southern climate down there. Can you tell sort of your average gardener what a frost-free date means and how they should use that in planting their own gardens?
Yeah, frost-free date is the, I believe it's the median, the average date on the calendar when the last frost would occur. That doesn't mean necessarily that is the end-all date for when frost can occur. Obviously, they can after those dates, but it's just a good rule of thumb, especially for home gardeners where one frost just completely kills your plant there. You just want to keep that in mind for timing for getting your plants into the ground. I'm not the best home gardener or, you know, anything along those lines, but I like to have, you know, tomatoes and peppers and stuff in my garden. I don't get things planted out until May. So if I don't even look at the frost-free date, I go off the, I think it's an old saying of first day that, or first month that has three letters in it is when you get plants in the ground. So that's what I go off of. But you generally want to avoid frost for your home garden. So those are, there's some nice dates to keep in mind to avoid planting way too early. Like say tomorrow was 85 degrees. I think it was 95 degrees down in Champaign a couple days ago before that last wave of storms come in. A lot of people would see that and say, oh, time to get stuff out in the garden. And there's another potential freeze around the corner. So just a good little rule of thumb to follow those to avoid getting your crops killed.
And you mentioned soybeans going a little bit before corn. Is that kind of a universal thing?
No, it's a trend I've been seeing personally the last 5-6 years. I think it's more about you can get the beans early before they emerge. They can survive some of those colder temps if the temperature were to drop again, and it's a bit more economically feasible to go in and get a replant of soybeans and corn. So if you have the conditions, I've seen guys that are putting beans in first, switching to corn, and then finishing up everything as they need to. I know farmers that stick straight corn is, you know, you get that in first and then beans are to follow. It's a bit of a shifting dynamic in the last handful of years, but it's definitely become more popular.
Yeah, I wasn't aware that they do replanting of soybeans. I guess it's probably not a thing you want to be able to do, but if you're going to get wiped out, then I guess that's a good thing. So you're listening to Weather Realness, the weekly podcast about the climate and weather. We're talking to Stephen Brand, Commercial Agricultural Specialist with the Illinois Extension, about what a longer growing season means for Illinois. So we all know if you look at the temperature graphs, you're seeing that split where, you know, the last freeze is, you know, sometimes even several weeks earlier than it was in the earlier part of the 20th century. And this is a classic fingerprint of global climate change. It's very consistent with what we're seeing in our models that predict climate change. And it's having a real impact. And of course, it's not just about the weather and the plants, but also about the rest of the ecosystem, including pests. So as we're getting warmer winters, we're also seeing fewer extremely cold temperatures during the winter, of course, and that can help knock out some things that we may not want around. A lengthening growing season means insects from multiple generations could perhaps make it through the winter in certain areas. How can you say farmers are managing pests and how this might be impacted by the longer growing seasons? And is there anything we can do about this?
For early season, I think most pests are covered through seed treatments. Those are going to take care of the grubs and other, I don't want to say worms, cysts and other insects that might eat the seed early on. Throughout the growing season, a lot of pests, bug-wise, are weather-dependent. So with aphids, they need drier, longer drought conditions, and they can really cause a nasty, gross problem in corn. The second it rains, that'll wash a lot of those off and knock those colonies out. So I think best practices overall is really just keeping up with scouting and using the economic thresholds to kind of make decisions on when or if you need to get those insecticides out. Some farmers just mix their insecticides in with a post spray or fungicide further on in the season. So some guys just inherently have it all built in. It's kind of up to you, but I'm a huge proponent of scouting in general. I have a bit of a disease background from previous jobs, so I'm all about getting out there, seeing what's in your field, and acting accordingly that way.
So we're seeing a lot of variable drought conditions across the state right now. Some places have seen quite a bit of precipitation, whereas, for example, here in East Central Illinois, very close to us, you know, northern Champaign County is in extreme drought right now.
Yes.
We're seeing a lot of sort of heavier precipitation events, but it's been kind of spotty. And it's interesting that, you know, these very small pockets of heavy rain have been rather localized. And, you know, just southwest of us, I think they're pretty much recovered from the drought that we had last year. So can you say, you know, with these warmer temperatures that we're seeing, combined with, you know, perhaps spottier precipitation being more of the warm season type instead of kind of winter storms that sort of precipitate everywhere, is this something that farmers are having to manage more and even down to their field level of variations that they're concerned about?
I think it's a pretty big concern. Speaking with Trent Ford, the state climatologist at the U of I, earlier this year, Champaign, Ford County, right there in the heartland, is in a very extreme drought. And if they don't get rain coming up, he has some major concerns for crop outlook going forward. Southern Illinois is looking a lot better just based on the heavy rains they got last year, and Northern Illinois up by me has somewhat recovered from it as well. But I do weekly crop scouting throughout the season, and your point to the major storms that come rolling through, there was a couple fields that were planted within a couple days of each other. This is in DeKalb County, and I believe they were about 2 miles apart, right on the same road. After a rain event came through, one of the fields got rain and one didn't. One was very healthy looking. It got the rain, probably got an inch of rain in just an hour or so of a storm. It was about waist high, and the corn right down the road was knee high, spindly, dried out, and it was hurting real bad. So these isolated storms is becoming more and more common. They're becoming more and more extreme. And it's turning almost into a haves and have-nots when it comes to rain. And with Illinois, there's not much irrigation. You get some in the sandy areas in the northwest and a few very select areas in central Illinois on some very sandy soils. But it's something farmers are definitely concerned about. I think looking at maybe some genetics on drought hardiness could be very beneficial, but the norm for weather these days is unpredictability. So the second you put a drought resistant corn species in, you could have the wettest year on record. So it's very hard to predict. It's very hard to work around. Something I'm a big proponent of is cover crops, just trying to improve the soil health as much as you can, get better infiltration, less runoff, better moisture retention in the soil, and it can be a little bit of a buffer against those droughts that we are seeing more and more common. And those are kind of what we're looking at.
So given the unpredictability of rainfall becoming more extreme, you mentioned the fact that certain genetics can help produce crops that are a little bit more resistant to extremes. Is there are there issues, for example, if you select a drought-resistant strain of corn, does that backfire perhaps if you get a heavy rainfall season that follows?
Probably depend on the amount of rain, if I'm being completely honest. I don't know the genetics off the top of my head. A moderate amount of rainfall, the crop should be fine. But if the fields are completely waterlogged, I don't know if there's an easy save on that regardless. Yeah.
So as we're going forward here, we're starting to see evidence that obviously the seasons are getting longer. Perhaps heat waves could become more prevalent. We've certainly seen more drought and extreme weather in the future. Are you aware of conversations within the agricultural community around the fact that things are changing? And, you know, perhaps there needs to be some adaptation of practices that goes along with it?
I think that varies farmer to farmer. Some people are willing to look more at it as a changing problem. Some people are going to stay the course and be steady with what's worked for them for a long, long time. I'll touch on cover crops again. I think improving soil health in general is going to be very beneficial to all of your crops and the land in general. But I think there should be some, at least some level of concern that things are changing and we need to start adapting if we already haven't.
Yeah, it seems like, you know, predicting the weather is complex enough, but then when your wallet is on the line and you're trying to figure out, okay, what decisions do I make today, tomorrow, this year, next year, and make investments, that sounds like something that even is more potentially perilous. So, you know, hopefully, hopefully we can get the right information, you know, as a meteorologist to the farmers and the timescales that we can predict. But then, of course, you've got the economy and foreign relations and everything else sitting on top of that, of course, which probably contributes to a few gray hairs, I'm sure.
I can imagine.
Yeah. Can you say, you know, for example, we've seen these longer growing seasons and droughts. Do you have any sense of how that has impacted corn and soybean production over the last few years with these sort of wild weather events that we've had?
I mean, the corn numbers and the soy numbers have stayed relatively the same over the last handful of years. So I don't think people are going away from planting the two main cash crops in Illinois. I think the insurance companies are picking up a little bit of some of this disaster relief as we see some of these extreme weather events. I remember the big derecho that went through Iowa in 2017 and all those acres that got wiped out there. I mean, there's not really much you can do about that in general. It's just sometimes it happens. I think just having good agronomic practices and trying to stay on top of things the best you can is about as good of advice as we can give. There's the weather is going to do what it's going to do, and we're going to have to adapt to it.
Yeah, I think we've sort of seen a lot of businesses come in and try to provide, you know, smart agricultural solutions and try to help farmers at their level, try to figure out how to manage some of these things. But I think there's a lot of opportunity to help, you know, bring in AI and other technologies to help integrate weather information into their decision making that hopefully will pay off in their pocketbook.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I want to thank you for speaking with us, Stephen.
Yeah. Yeah. I hope the information was helpful and beneficial. I'm just happy to be here and helping out. Yeah,
definitely. Thank you very much. So for those of you just tuning in, you're listening to Weather Realness, the podcast about weather and climate. I'm Steve Nesbitt. Have a weather or climate question you want us to tackle? Leave us a voicemail at 217-333-2141 or email weatherrealness@illinois.edu.